the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and a work-at-home mom of two. I would love to devote more time to creative writing, journaling, and blogging.
And I'm Abigail Creeves, a writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm also a work-at-home mom who is just beginning to learn the ropes of balancing a baby and everything else.
And you are listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 18. Today we are talking about creative communities and how they can help us. So for many of us, it's tempting to shove our creativity into a dark corner and try to keep making progress on our own because it's scary to share our work with other people. But like we talked about in our episode on sharing your creativity, we are not meant to work in a vacuum. We need other people to support and surround us. So this week we're focusing on creative communities, how to find them, how they can help us achieve our goals, and our own personal experiences being part of various creative communities. So with that in mind, what creative communities have we been a part of and how have they been helpful or not so much?
Yeah, I think the most helpful creative community that I have been a part of was a writing workshop that I was a part of in 2015, which I cannot believe was 3 whole years ago now. It seems like it was last month. But in this workshop, it was a condensed version of a workshop that these people normally put on, which allowed me to commit to it because I didn't have an entire year to commit, but I could commit 2 months. So it helped me write 100 pages of fiction in just about 8 weeks and get feedback on it, which was really, really helpful. So that workshop where we showed up every week or every other week, we both had to bring pages with us or send them in ahead of time. And then we also had to be present and talk about other people's work and what was going on with that, I think was one of the most helpful creative communities I've ever been a part of.
That is so impressive that you got that many pages written in just a couple of months and you were also getting feedback on them and giving feedback on other people's work at the same time. Like, that is really a lot. And I'm just like in awe. That is a huge, like a great example of how you can make huge strides forward sometimes when you just have that accountability and that encouragement from other people. That is kind of similar, not really similar at all, actually, but I recently did a writing workshop a couple of weekends ago. I think I may have mentioned it on the podcast here before, but in case I didn't, it was all online based, and there were a couple of live calls throughout the weekend and then space in between for us to do our writing exercises. And the purpose was to really get the pre-work done and the foundations laid for novels. We were all novelists, wanting to do some world building and that kind of thing. And it was only a couple of days, but it made such a huge difference in the way that I looked at that project and the way that I even felt about that project, knowing that there were other people out there struggling through the same things and trying to find time to write when they had little kids. And even though they're all things that I knew in my head, like, yeah, obviously there's other people out there writing fiction and have little kids. It's just not real until you meet those people and you can hear about their book and you can hear about where they're struggling and you can offer your own encouragement and feedback to them. And so coincidentally, even though it was an entirely online workshop, there were like 4 or 5 of us that were from Minnesota out of like, I don't know, 12 or 15 people total. So that was kind of a crazy coincidence. And we've already scheduled a meetup later this month to be able to meet in person and catch up and see how our books are going. And so hopefully that's going to turn into maybe not such a formal accountability group, but at least sort of an encouraging place to turn if we can find a way to keep up via email or occasional phone calls and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's been a great support network, even though it's a new one.
That sounds awesome. I know I went to a writing conference a few years ago, and it was a local writing conference here in Madison. So one of the things that I was hoping to come out of it with was critique partners or people to be in a writing group together. And so what you did at the conference was like sign up based on your location to get together with writers near you. And I ended up emailing all of the people that were in my location, and everyone's like, oh, well, Tuesdays don't work for me, or Thursdays don't work for me, or how about we start in the fall, or whatever. And like literally no one ever got together, and that was really demoralizing. So I'm super excited that you guys already have a date set and you're all going to move forward.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. And that's really sad that you had like a list of people like specifically set up for this, and then scheduling conflicts just drove it all into the ground. So,
and yeah, it was a bummer, but obviously not meant to be. So,
yeah. Well, and because of scheduling conflicts is one thing, I think it's oftentimes easier to build creative communities online. Like when I was looking at this question, all of my answers were online based, with the exception of like writing workshops from being in college, which is like, okay, we're all in the same class together and we all had the same assignment and we're going to sit in a circle and trade stories and give each other feedback, which is not bad at all. But I mean, it was years ago and it's not a structure that you're really going to find anywhere else where like, yes, everyone is committed to being here at this time and this date. And it's really hard to find those kinds of things in person nowadays, I think. So some other online resources that I've thought of have been just through writing. Both of us have been writing for Hello There, Friend, and that has sort of sprung up a little community of the writers who all write and contribute for that site, you know, chatting back and forth on the Slack app and that kind of thing about like what we're struggling with, or just sharing encouragement or quotes or articles that we think we might like. And a couple of writing Facebook groups that are sort of the same thing, you know, just like, what are your problems this week, or what are you working towards this week, and just a place for people to have sort of those low-key discussions. I think the problem with that is maybe that you're not able to go quite as deep with people, but they're better than nothing. There's still a spot for you to recognize that you're not alone in everything.
Yes, definitely. And I find that the online ones are really, really easy to connect to and kind of bounce in and out of as you have time or as you need them. And that is really nice too. And there's different writing communities that tend to cater to different people, or not even writing Facebook groups. I've been in one as part of John Acuff's 30 Days of Hustle a few years ago. And that was people from, I mean, people who were trying to use their 30 days to lose weight or get in shape or write a book or film a TV show or whatever their goal happened to be. It was everyone. The only commonality was that everyone was working towards a goal and hoping to get as far as possible in 30 days. And that was a really cool community to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet that was a very driven place too, with everybody working towards different goals, but still goals. Some of my favorite Facebook groups are Nicole Galata, whom we've had on the show before. She is a blogger and a writer. She's a food writer, and she has a Wild Words Collective on Facebook that I really enjoy being part of. And then the hashtag #AmWritingPodcast has a Facebook group that's got all sorts of different writers in it, from journalists and nonfiction writers to novelists to poets, pretty much the full gamut. And they all just sort of encourage each other and spur each other on. And it's really cool to see that happening across genres, too.
Yeah, that is neat. And I think other places that communities tend to exist online, at least for me, are on Twitter. It's been a while since I've participated, but both Create Lounge, the hashtag, and then also the hashtag Story Social, host weekly Twitter chats, I believe, on different nights of the week. And it's all questions and answers that you can join into to help work out problems that you have or to connect with other people who might have the same problems. And I remember them being really encouraging and a great place to meet similarly minded individuals too. So those are great communities to tap into.
I have also kind of fallen off on Twitter chats. I used to be pretty regularly involved with those. And I think part of it is just having kids. Like, the mm-hmm. timeline of Twitter chats doesn't always line up with, like, your kids' bedtimes. And so yes. you're not able to make it as often anymore. But that was a great place to meet and connect with people that I was then able to follow elsewhere online. So that was mm-hmm. a good resource, too.
And those are really nice because they're pretty, like, low commitment. You dive in 1 week and you can't make it the next week. Like, nobody gets mad at you for not showing up.
Yes, definitely true. So we've got sort of our baseline for those couple of creative communities that we're part of. But are there any additional communities that we would want to join? And is there anything that's stopping us from diving into those? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to jump back into a writing workshop like I did a few years ago. That was the most helpful thing I have ever done for my own writing and creativity. The one that I was a part of, the kind of the condensed version, has a whole year critique group called Novel in a Year, where you start from scratch at the beginning and outline and prep and write your novel. And hopefully by the end of the year, you have an entire book. But it costs a lot of money, and I yeah. don't have that right now. So the condensed version was a perfect, like, dipping my toes in. Now I know this works for me, and I'd love to do it again someday, but I can't essentially pay college tuition right now. That's just not a possibility.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. The workshop that I was part of a couple weeks ago had something similar, where they've got, like, a couple different tiers of ongoing book coaching and other programs, like group coaching, that you can sign up for. And I was like, with being pregnant and the season of life that I'm in right now, I'm like, I just know that I would not have time to put in enough effort and energy to get my money's worth. So mm-hmm. it's not going to be something that's on the table for right now, but it is something that I would like to consider possibly in the future going back to if it's ever in the cards again. So yeah, I can agree with that one.
And I think that is something that definitely motivates me, is like, I have purchased this thing and now I need to make sure I get my money's worth. I don't know if you are in the same boat.
Yeah, I am. That's exactly how I felt about my last writing workshop that I did. I was like, ooh, this is very motivating, having money on the table.
yes, it is.
Yeah, so I think that it's always intimidating to sort of jump into a new community and be the new kid, especially if you're going into, like, a writer's group that's already established and they mm-hmm. invite you in or you invite yourself in. Something like that, I think, would be kind of nerve-wracking, even if you already know one or two people in the group, because they've already got their rhythm and their group dynamic mm-hmm. and here you are coming in. And it's just that whole, like, oh, you're the new kid and, like, it's awkward, unless you're an extrovert, in which maybe you think that's fun, but I do not. Yeah, so I think that for me, I'm not sure what type of creative community I would want to join. I think that the best community is often formed by accident, and so it's hard to sometimes orchestrate that kind of serendipitous group that just works well together. And I really want to find that, but it feels kind of magical. And I don't necessarily know how to start, aside from, like, going to networking events or conferences or that kind of thing. But even going to those can be intimidating, and they can also cost a lot of money that you don't necessarily always have. And, you know, if you go to a conference and you don't really put yourself out there, you are probably not going to make any connections. And that's a lot of work for an introvert. So maybe that's something that I just need to work on personally and be like, no, I will go to this many conferences and I will talk to people.
I don't have the problem with, like, talking to people most of the time. I just find it, like, so draining that when I get home from whatever event it is, I don't have energy left to, like, do any of the things that I learned or whatever. And it takes me a few days to recuperate. And then some of the excitement has worn off. And then I don't want to do the things that I just learned how to do and should be doing right now.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I can feel that too. Sometimes just going to a conference or a big networking event is enough of an overwhelm to me that I can't even get started talking. I'm like too much on a sense overload that I'm like, no, I just need to sit in the corner and, like, find something to do with my hands, like be eating or drinking something so that I'm not standing awkwardly and, like, just hope that someone talks to me.
Yes. Yes. That's a good strategy. I also find like right now in this season of life, it's really hard to get away for like during the week things with a baby, and like a lot of networking. There's a networking event that happens in Madison once a month on Wednesday mornings at 7 a.m. They do like breakfast and chit chat, which I used to go to before I went to work because I was already out the door and on my way anyway. But like there is no one in the world who is going to come watch my child from 6 a.m. until when I get back again. So
yeah,
that's just not going to happen.
And you probably don't actually want to get up and get dressed and get ready and be out the door in time to be somewhere at 7 a.m. when you're sitting there like, sleep, but I could have been sleeping.
Yes. Very much so. So a lot of times I find like in-person things, I don't want to say the phrase aren't worth it because I'm sure they are, but maybe just not right now. It's not worth like the extra effort to find a babysitter and get everything ready so that I can be gone and then go do that thing. But maybe someday.
I agree. There's a freelancer writing and editing group that I'm part of that it sort of sprang up from a bunch of us who graduated college around the same time and ended up doing freelancing work. And now it's grown to include people from different arenas of life that we didn't necessarily all go to school with. But that has been good to see people in person. But also it's really, really hard scheduling wise. And like sometimes you can't find someone to watch your kids, or you do find someone and you set up a schedule and only three people come out of this group of 25. And it can be really frustrating and logistically challenging, where like in other seasons, if you show up and there's nobody there, it doesn't matter because you'll just take the morning for yourself and get coffee or read a book or do some work. But if you went to the trouble to find a sitter, then it's like, okay, like now I'm annoyed.
Yes. And then it's not very productive alone time.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you wish were different about creative communities, or what do they get right?
Yeah, I think depending on the community, there can be a lot of different challenges with them. One thing I think, particularly if you are in those in-person settings, it can be tempting to just spend all your time chatting with people and catching up with people, or sort of commiserating about the creative life, but not actually getting any feedback or getting any encouragement or asking the questions that you need to ask about things from your community. Or maybe if you are even extroverted enough, or if you have access to enough different creative communities, you can spend too much time jumping into different communities online and in person, and not enough time actually creating. Especially with social media, I think that can be tempting to jump into all the different groups everywhere. And then you look up and you're like, oh, but I haven't actually made anything in 2 months because I've been on social media. So that is definitely something to watch out for.
Yes, absolutely. It's really, really easy to think that that counts as creative time. And maybe sometimes it is when you do actively need help working through a problem or something on a project. But a lot of the times I find that when I'm flocking to creative communities online, it's because I just don't want to put in the work that day. And that I think by doing creative community, it kind of counts as work when really it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to fall into that trap. And another thing I've noticed is that it helps in, again, whether it's online or in person, because I've experienced this in both places, but it helps if everybody in your creative community is relatively at the same level and you're all kind of lifting each other up as you go along and improve. I definitely think that there is a place for like mentorships and those types of relationships where you're working with someone who's obviously got more experience than you do. But if you end up in a group setting where like one or two people have a lot more experience than the rest of the group, it's sort of going to turn into those people always helping and answering beginner questions from everybody else and maybe not getting as much out of it for themselves. And like I said, that's not always a bad thing, but it can make certain groups feel lopsided. Or like if you've ever been part of a mastermind group for business, like it definitely comes up there where some people are like, but how do I file my taxes? And other people are like, okay, but I was trying to come up with a marketing plan. And it helps if everybody's sort of on a level-ish playing field, and then you're all just bringing your different collaborative ideas to the table.
Yeah, I like that point, most definitely. I find that one of the things that I really enjoy about communities is a lot of community managers tend to be really gifted extroverts who are great mm-hmm. at rallying people and making people really enthused about what they're doing. And that is something that I definitely need as an introvert. Having someone to cheer me on is just, and to manage all of those like relationshipy things, that is so much easier to tap into than having to do it myself. I think the thing that irritates me most about creative communities, or that I wish maybe they would do differently, is people being flaky. And I don't know if that's just like the time we live in where everyone has a million options presented to them at all times. And if they decide like, oh, that Saturday morning coffee and networking thing that I committed to, I don't actually want to go now. I'm not going to do it. That irritates me. Like, I don't know if it's just the like, I said I'm going to do this, so I'm going to show up and commit, and I do. And then if other people don't show up, I get really irritated. And I also find that community, especially online community, can be really easy these days. You know, join a Facebook group, you sign up for an email list. But a lot of times when things like that are so easy, it doesn't really pull in the most committed people either. They, you know, a group will have 10,000 members, but only like 12 of them actually comment on a regular basis or are there to help other people rather than just get their own questions answered.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, like those, I think one of the reasons everybody's joining a million Facebook groups is because it's seen as a place to promote yourself and your work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need communities where we can just like, obviously you want to share people's work. And if you like genuinely enjoy it, you want to support it and tell other people about it and spread the word. But sometimes you need a community to go to where you don't feel like everyone is just there to shill out their latest blog post, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the Facebook group for She Podcasts does a really good job of that. No one is allowed to promote themselves except on, I want to say, Wednesdays. And they have a Wednesday thread that you can publish your latest episode or whatever it happens to be. The thread closes at midnight and any comments left after midnight get deleted. So like it gives everyone an opportunity to promote themselves, but on an even playing field and not over and over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah. And I think, having a broader community to promote yourself to is one of the benefits of having a creative community. It just is always better if it's happening naturally because you are genuinely friends with these people and they mm-hmm. want to share your stuff because they like you. Like that's going to be a million times better than somebody who's retweeting your thing just so that you'll retweet theirs, you know, like that yes. kind of, and then you're not even really reading what each other has done or looking at each other's work or anything. So I think like, looking for those places that have more of a genuine community vibe is definitely worth it. And maybe especially when it comes to social media, like going through and culling out your Facebook groups every now and then or deciding like what it's really worth engaging in and following along with and maybe getting rid of some of those ones that aren't as beneficial to you is mm-hmm. probably a good thing.
And turn off the notifications is my advice for Facebook groups because you're going to get notified mm-hmm. for a billion different things. And if you just turn off all of the notifications or sign up for like the digest notification, then you're not tempted to check in constantly. You only check in like when you've allotted yourself time to interact.
Yep. Totally agree with that one too. Yep. Good advice.
So any other advice for people who are looking to join a creative community?
The only thing that I could think of is, again, it's like advice that I would give myself. Sometimes you just need to be willing to put yourself out there. And when you meet someone new, even if it's not in a creative setting, be willing to tell people about what you do as a creative. And even if it's not like your day job or your main job, just be willing to work it into conversation and say, oh, yeah, I'm a writer or I'm a painter or, oh, yeah, I do photography on the side for fun or whatever your thing is, because it opens you up to more connections than you might realize. So you might discover that that other mom at the playground also does something similar to what you do or has her own creative projects that maybe even if they're in a different arena, you guys can sort of connect over and talk with. And that's not necessarily something that people are super comfortable talking about, but it can open up more of those actual friendship connections and those deeper communities, I think, than what you oftentimes find online. So being willing to put yourself out there and like maybe even say like, oh, hey, could I call and chat with you about that sometime? Or like, I would love to get together for coffee and, you know, share about our different projects, that kind of thing. Just being the one who's willing to kick off a relationship with other creatives just to see where it goes. Even if it's not a formal group setting, it's just like a one-on-one friendship.
Yeah, that is super smart. And going along with that, I would also just say to be willing to try something. This is something that I get stuck in a lot of the time, that I think that by signing up for something or committing to something that I am committing for the rest of my life, or at least like the rest of the year to this group. And I think I have to remember that I can stop being part of a community at any point if it's not serving me anymore, or I can try a new one or come back later. And you never know if something is going to be helpful to you unless you try it. And so try a few different kind of communities that work or that you think might work for you. And if they don't, you can leave. You don't have to stay there. You don't sign a contract. If you are signing a contract to join a creative community, maybe rethink joining that one.
Yes. Yeah. The only thing I can think of that would have an actual contract is the ones that, like we said, like your writing workshops that you pay for. Yes. And then at that point, I'm sure they don't care if you leave the community. They probably just want their money. So.
Yeah, they probably keep your money is what they're going to do. Yeah, so be willing to try. And if things don't work, don't do them anymore. And I think that's good advice for all of life. If something stops working, stop doing it.
Yeah, yeah, just be willing to try things with creative communities and see how they go along. And it's sort of like making friends in every other area. Like, it's going to be awkward at first, but yeah, you'll get over it. It's still worth it in the end for those couple of people that you find.
Yeah. And maybe that is the bottom line of this whole episode, is that treat creative communities like they're friends or friendships, and it'll do a whole lot more for you and your own creativity if you treat people like they're people and not resources.
Yes, because they are people. So there you go. There is your life lesson for today. So with that, what have you been reading lately, Abby?
Yeah, so I am working my way through The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Cron and Suzanne Stabile. This is kind of going hand in hand with what I read a couple weeks ago, Reading People by Anne Bogle. I'm just diving deep into personality because we're going to talk about personality in a couple of weeks here. So getting ready for that. So The Road Back to You is about the Enneagram personality system, and it's a little bit different than most of them. It talks about how there are 9 numbers, 1 through 9, and everyone in the world kind of fits into one of these personality types. But each type has, they kind of talk about each type as either average, healthy, or unhealthy. And so if you're an average person of your type, these are your tendencies. If you're really healthy and self-aware, these are the ways you operate. And if you're unhealthy and, you know, completely giving into your biggest weaknesses, this is how you operate. And so it's really, I think, helpful to take a look at who you are and how you could be a better you. Instead of, I think a lot of personality typing systems are like, okay, this is who you are at the end. The Enneagram kind of encourages you to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I have listened a little bit to, I think there's a podcast that goes along with this book that Ian Cron has hosted and had some guests on and stuff. And it's been very interesting to listen to because the Enneagram is unlike any other personality typing system. Like you said, you sort of get into it and then it's like, oh, I'm a sort of a cruddy person. I need to address some of these issues in my life. And so I think it's one of the systems that gives you the most opportunity and guidance for maybe living life as the best version of yourself.
Yeah, that is accurate. I would say that is a good description. So I'm most of the way through it. I've been reading through, and I thought I was a type 5. I was pretty sure. And then I read the section that they have on type fives and I was like, yep, 100%, this is me. So if anyone is kind of wavering on what type they think they are, or they just need a pretty, it's a pretty short, clear, concise book. This would be a great resource for anyone who wants to read a little bit more about the Enneagram, or even just go like straight to your type's chapter and learn more about yourself, rather than you're going to get the most out of it if you read about all the types and how they interact. But you can just kind of dive in as you need to.
Yeah, that is excellent. I am on hold at the library for that one. So I'm really excited for it to come in now that I'm hearing that you liked it so much.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I did not read anything for this week. I'm in the middle of a couple of different books, but I feel like I'm too early on in them to speak to them. I learned my lesson with that one book several episodes ago, The Miniaturist, when I talked about it too early and then had to go back and retract my previous statements. So I will just bow out of Mini Book Club for tonight, and maybe next time I will have more to share. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If you'd like to help us bring this podcast to life each week, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/chasingcreative.
And if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.